The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Jesus loves the little children,
all the children of the world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. First reading this morning is from 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served as Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance to Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned away and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all of his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 111 responsively. Alleluia, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are your works, O Lord, honored by all who delight in them.
Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever.
You cause your wonders to be remembered. You are gracious and full of compassion.
You give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant.
You have shown your people the power of your works in giving them the lands of the nations.
The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity.
You sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name.
The fear of your
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading is a second letter of Timothy written by the Apostle Paul. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
When Martin Luther was asked to explain or describe the nature of true worship, he answered, "It's the 10th leper turning back." True worship is the 10th leper turning back. It doesn't take an astute student of the Bible to see that gratitude, thanksgiving, is the theme of our lessons today. That Old Testament lesson with Naaman being cured of his leprosy in the river, and this story from Luke's gospel. This gospel of the 10 made clean that is often used at Thanksgiving services. And parents use this story to teach their children that mighty lesson of the need to say thank you. Even 2-year-olds know the right answer when prompted. What do you say? Thank you. But Jesus isn't teaching us etiquette here. This is a kind of gratitude that goes way beyond writing thank you notes. It is absolutely necessary that when we look at scripture lessons for today, we see that it's more than Jesus prodding us to say thank you. Just as with the Christian virtue of love, our understanding and our experience of gratitude is more than a feeling or an emotion that we have. It's a way of being, a way of living. When Jesus said, "Love your enemies," he didn't mean that we were to develop warm feelings in our hearts for those people. It would be almost impossible to have those emotional feelings of love for our enemies. But with that gift of God's most amazing grace, we can act in a loving manner toward our enemies. We can accept them as children of God. We can refuse to hate, to retaliate, or to harm. And we might even find it in our hearts to feel some compassion or empathy for our enemies. I think it's that way with gratitude as well. There are many situations in life and many experiences that are difficult, if not impossible, to be grateful. But maybe gratefulness, gratitude, is beyond just knowing the answer to what do you say. Maybe gratitude, like Christian love, is more about a way of living, a way of acting. Gratitude in life is a constant reminder that we are dependent on God. Without God's grace, we can do nothing. And gratitude is so much more than just saying thank you. It's an attitude. It's a frame of mind. The poster in my roommate's above her desk in college said, "Develop an attitude of gratitude." And I think that's what this lesson is about. The end of St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he wrote, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances. Not just when the leprosy is cured, but also when you receive word that the cancer has returned. Not just on the day of the wedding when you say, "I do," but also when angry words are exchanged and it feels more like, "I don't." Not just when your boss gives you a good review with a promise of a pay raise, but also when your company takes pay cuts and lays off the staff. Give thanks in all circumstances. Living a life of gratitude in all circumstances is possible because God knows our every circumstance. God knows where we are and how we feel. God knows our every breath and every hair on our head. Think about how amazing that is, that God knows everything about us. We are so well known, so loved, so healed, so made well. The good news is that we are already made well and healed. The good news is that gratitude can be our way of life. The good news is that we do know who and whose we are. In some ways, it may be that the small stuff, even more than the big stuff, that makes us whole and healed. It's so obvious that we should give thanks in the big stuff, like being cured of leprosy, or walking away from a car crash, or having the fires miss your house. Big stuff like that that causes us to fall at Jesus' knees with the Samaritan and cry out with all our voice praise and thanks to God. But it's the thanksgiving for the small stuff, the daily stuff, that makes us live a life of gratitude. Last month, a parish member came to my house and planted 5 iris rhizomes on my back patio. Now, if you've ever planted iris, you know that they don't look like much when you're putting them in the ground. They're just a clunk of dirt and some dead-looking leaves. And when we put those in the ground, I said, "I don't believe that Thank you very much, but, I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think anything, trust, just trust. In the spring, there will be purple iris, blue iris, growing on your patio. In the spring. That pruning and planting has enabled that plant to concentrate all of its energy, and it will produce more flowers than if it had been left alone, unpruned. People who live lives of gratitude are people who can concentrate even the pains of life because they trust that when spring comes, the flowers will show that the pruning was not punishment, but purification. It isn't an easy lesson to learn, but a life of gratitude invites us to say everything is grace. The big stuff and the small stuff. The good stuff and the not so good stuff. If our gratitude is limited, if we're resentful about things that we wished had not happened, if we resent relationships that we wish had turned out differently, about mistakes that we wish we had not made, part of our heart remains isolated, not turned back to Jesus, unable to produce new life. In a converted heart, a heart of gratitude, all of our past can be gathered up in grace. To be able to say, thanks be to God, with every step of our journey is grace. It's a gift of God. It's living with an attitude of gratitude. It's living a life of gratitude. Last week, Bishop Mark Hansen, the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, wrote a letter to the church. And in that letter, he said, I think we might be too timid. This was his question, have we become too timid, a church? Have we lost confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit? Are we too timid to invite others into this life of gratitude with us? Are we too timid to live a life of gratitude? Are we too timid to fall at the feet of Jesus and say thank you, to call out our thanks? Jesus indeed lived a life of gratitude. With only 5 loaves and 2 fish and 5,000 people, he gave thanks to God. He broke the bread and he gave it away. On the night before he died, Jesus thanked God for his friends around the table, including those who would betray him and deny him. And he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it away. And he did the same thing the next day with his life on the cross. And when we keep our eyes on the cross, we can live lives of gratitude as well. And we can have thanks be to God be our constant prayer. Thanks be to God for the good stuff and the not so good stuff. For the big stuff and the not so big stuff. Thanks be to God, our constant prayer. Amen.